Okay, we'll start at the top of Samach Tev Noman Aleph. Yesterday we left off with the Mishnah, and now the Gemara is going to go through pieces of the Mishnah and explain what the Chiddush is, what we learn from each little section of the Mishnah. So the first thing the Mishnah said was that a field, when you sell the field, the avanim letzorcha, that the stones on the field that are for the field itself, or for the usage of the field, they go along with the field. So my avanim shein letzorcha, what are these? What are these stones that belong to the field or for the use of the field? If you're planting a field, what do you need stones for? So hachal targimo avnei de'achva. So one answer, or one possibility, is avnei de'achva, which are stones that are used to weigh down the crops when they are drying in the field. So after you put out the sheaves that are hanging out in the field to dry, they used to weigh them down with stones in order that they don't blow away and that they do not spread out. So that's one possibility. Ulamar avanim asdurot legeder. Right. The other possibility is that they are lined up to make a fence in the field, so that these stones, right? I mean, you see it today, whether it's on the terracing or whether it's in the fields, they used stones to demarcate the walls or to make the ends of the fields. So the other possibility, what the avanim letzorcha are, that these are stones that are lined up in order to make a fence. V'ha'atani rebchi avanim tzivurot legeder. So wait, you said sturot legeder, right? But didn't we hear from Rabbi Chia, or the Brisa of Rabbi Chia, which says that it's avanim tzvurot that are piled up to make a geder, meaning that that's less defined. Sturot the geder means that they're already lined up to make the fence. So they're almost, you know, they just need a little more to fix them up and to make them into a fence. Over here, tzvurot means just that they're in piles. The intention is to use these piles for a fence, but they're definitely in an earlier stage. So Mar says, don't worry about that, nei sturot. Just amend it to read sturot and not vurot, so no problem. You could see how they could make such a mistake. Right? The words sound very similar. Achat targimo avnei d'achva. So now, this is the equivalent. It's very interesting. The Ashram said a couple times here that the Gemara doesn't say amamar. Right? The Gemara says amamar when it wants to go back and reference something it quoted in a brais or a tosefta and explain it. So the Gemara did and Samched did it also over there. And the Ashram writes, it's ke'en amamar. And the Gemara did that, it's Kein Amamar. Also over here, Gemara says, Achot Tugmin Avnei Achva, that's what it said above. It's an Amamar without saying Amamar. So here, the Gemara wants to know these Avnei D'Achva. Now the Rabbi Meir, now there's Machlokus between the Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, it's coming up in the Tendaf. There are Machlokus about how much or how far along does something have to be classified as being a part of an object. So over there, talking about a Kerem. When you're talking about a kerem, the stakes that are in the kerem, do they actually have to be affixed and in the ground, or simply do they have to be there to be used? How far along? So Rabbi Meir is more megillah, requires less definition of the object in order to be included in the sale, whereas the Rabbanan require more. So now the Gemara goes, according to those opinions of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Meir, how far along here do you have to be, or how defined does the object have to be included in the sale? So as the Gemara says, Li Rabbi Meir, according to these Avnei D'Achva, the Rabbi Meir is the Metaknan. It's not that he actually has these stones in the field, but rather he has prepared them. His intention is to use these stones to weigh down the crops in the field. Not necessarily that he's brought them into the field yet. They're ready and ready to go. And even though he hasn't brought them down either to the field or to the threshing area, wherever he's going to use them. Right? The Rabbanon, who the Machton, but the Rabbanon who requires something to be more defined or further on in the process, it has to be already that he's brought them into the field. Not simply that he's designated them, but also that he brought them down to the field to be used. Then they're included in the sale. According to Ulo, says that it's stones that are lined up, right, or placed to be ready to make a fence. The Rabbi Meir, Dimitaknan. According to Rabbi Meir, it's only that they lined them up or set them up, even though he's not misadir them exactly. He didn't put them into the fence structure. The bananu, the sadron. Whereas according to the chachamim, you'd have to already be misadir them in a more defined manner or defined way to show that it is a fence. Right, a little bit. Although it sounds here that it's a little further along than Tzvurot, which is it. Tzvurot, and exactly. I think so. I think that's what it sounds like from here. Right. Veda kanim shebekeren shein letzorcho. And now we said before the stakes in the vineyard that are for its needs. Kanim ma'avidayu. What do you use stakes for in the field? So Amar dvei Rabbi Yanai kanim amchulakim shema amidim tachal gifanim. So we already said this before when we spoke about the Mishnah. We said that these are the trellises, right, on which they hang the vines. And as the Rashbam describes it over here, that these, the vines themselves hang on the trellises, and then the grapes, the eshkolot, hang down from these trellises. So they're not running on the ground, and they're hanging up, and you can pick them off easily, and they don't get ruined by running on the ground. So now, how far, what type of stakes are we talking about? So there will be Meir de Mishafyan, Abul Avdalah Mukman. So according to Rabbi Meir, these stakes or these sticks that you're using in order to create the trellises, they have to be mishafyan. So that we saw in Baba Kama. Mishafyan means that they're peeled off or they're scraped off, meaning that they've been prepared to be used for the trellises, but they're not actually affixed or set up as trellises. Whereas according to the Chachamim, Avaga de la Mukman, but the Rabbanan who the Mukman. Right? The Chachamim, it have to be already that they're Mukman, that they're already set up as stakes or trellises in the ground in order to be classified as a part of the vineyard over here. V'ezet t'vua mechuberet l'karko. We said before that it's t'vua that's mechuberet l'karko gets sold along with the karko. And Gemara says, Afagav de matai l'mechzad. That over here, it's even though they've reached a point where they need to be harvested. Why is that relevant? Because we know in other places, like in Shavuot, in other places, where you could call out mainly Batzer, we're going to spear dummy. So despite that fact, so what our Havamina was, the Sakhadat Chamina would be, that call out mainly Ktor, Kikotzur dummy, right? And therefore it's not included in the field. Right, so by Mechira, so despite the fact, that's what the Gemara says, despite the fact that halachically, despite that halachic framework, when it comes to Lashon Bnei Adam, right, they're included in the Sadeh. And despite the fact, and we saw this before also, that when we talked about Avodim, the Metaltalim Mekarke, even though from a halachic standpoint and a Kenyan standpoint, Avodim are clearly Karke, nevertheless, when it came to Lashon Bnei Adam, right, the Gemara wanted to classify them as Metaltalim. And so, also over here, even though maybe halachically, the Ktor Kikotzer Dami, and they're no longer Ktor Chakarko, it's not part, it's not considered Mechuba the Karka anymore. Nevertheless, the Gabe Mechira, physically, it's attached to the ground. And therefore, it is classified as Mechuba the Karko. Right. So, about Chitzat Hakanim are these some sort of reeds or sort of growth, bamboos, that have bamboo shoots that grow out. And they are, if they're less than a beit rovah, they're less than a field's worth, right? The minimum amount of a field's worth, then they go with the sale. So what's the chiddush there? It means afagav dalima, even though they're massive, even though these things are huge and they take up a lot of space, you know, on the land. But despite, because they're not a beit rovah, they're not included. They are included in the sale. They're not a independent or defined chashuv, right? Significant within themselves to be classified as a independent of the sale. As we talked about yesterday, this is the hut, right? The shomira, probably because it's a guard's hut, you know, shomira, shomer, right? The guard's hut. Shein asuya betit, that is not affixed to the ground with cement or plaster. Afagav to lo kviya ba'aro. Even though, which is, it's interesting like this, even though it's not planted into the ground or fixed onto the ground, I mean, it's just mechubar betit. I'm not exactly how to differentiate that clearly, but even though it's not, like, have a foundation in the ground. The walls itself being plastered. Okay, very good. Right, so it itself has plaster around it, which makes it a more permanent situation. So when it doesn't have teeth, right, despite the fact, even though it's not affixed to the ground, still that can be taken away. Just to put. So despite the fact that it's not kavua ba'ara, it's still included with the sale of the land. You would classify it as metaltele, because it can be taken off the land. So therefore, I just point out, I know that David, yesterday, you wanted to say the other way, and the Rabbeinu Chanan also has a girsa like you. If you look at the Tap Tosfos on Samach Tet, right, because you had suggested the other way, that if it was ein mechuber betit, right, and then it shouldn't be included, and then when it's mechuber betit, it should be more like the karka. So that's the girsa of the Rabbeinu Chanan, was exactly what you. It says, Rashvam gari spiresha shein asuya betit. So exactly what you wanted to suggest yesterday, that the more mechuber the karka is, right, the more that it belongs to the karka, right, as opposed to the girsa that we have, which is the Rashman's girsa, which is that the more mechuber the karka, the more fixture it is, then the more house, a bayit it is, and it's separate. But when I saw it, I said, oh, David, that you'd be happy to know that Rabbeinu Chananel had a girsa similar to what you were suggesting in the Mishnah yesterday. All right. Bet haharuv she'enu murkav, bet betulat ha-shikma. So you have the haharuv, the buxer that was not grafted. And betulat ha-shikma was a tree, a sycamore tree that was not used for wood yet. It's growing for the first time. So why again? What's the chedeshir afakav de'alima? Even though they're massive trees, nevertheless, they're still included with the field. They don't have distinct, they're not distinct entities, they're not significant in themselves. What is avanim she'en l'tzorcha? So remeir, it's lo metakdan. According to remeir, what's lo metakdan? They haven't been designated yet to be used for, you know, weighing down the crops. Even though he's designated them, they haven't brought them down to the field. Those aren't included. Again, according to remeir, he hasn't set them out or laid them out to be used for the field. He hasn't even lined them up yet. So each one was a step below, will be classified as being, right, not the tzorcha, not a part of the field. Again, kanim that are not the tzorach of the field do not include. What are kanim that are not the tzorach of the field? They're meir delo meshafyan. According to meir, those they haven't been peeled yet or scraped down yet. Rabbanan delo mukman, that they haven't been placed in the ground, according to the chachamim. Even though it still needs the land. What does that mean, it still needs the land? It's already cut, it's harvested. What does it mean that it needs the land? Listen to this. I don't know how to explain it totally, but it says over here, according to the Rashbam, I don't know how to read this. This verb here is a little strange. So you get from the, absorb the smell of the ground and to dry out. So I'm not exactly sure how that works, but it's an interesting concept that he's explaining over here. Alright. Over here is the opposite. Even though they're small, but if they're already a big ruva, they're considered significant because they're a field by themselves and they would not be included in this sale. The chitzilat kanim is just an example in the Mishnah. Anything that is significant of itself, for instance, besamim, if you had a little patch of spices that you were growing there, that would also be considered distinct and an independent entity. As long as it has its own name and it's, you know, significant by itself, and an imkeretim, it's not included in the sale. So an example of that would be, someone calls this is like the rose garden of Mr. You know, meaning that it's somehow defined as a separate part of the field. You wouldn't look at it as an entirety in the field. You say, ah, there's a little, you know, some little stuff over there, but rather you look, oh wow, there's a vegetable patch here, there's a samim patch here. But since it's defined separately, then it already is not included in the sale along with it.
So something like kanim, it's got a size of
the
patch, right?
Right.
Something, you know, for samim or
like
a vegetable, even though it's less than a
robot. It says, anything that has its own name, uvchitzat hakanim b'uvav perish lo chashiura the milsa the psikahi, because it's a fixed amount. Di avi beit ruvav yeshlo shem b'fnatzmo ilo lo. So the Rashbam is saying exactly what you're saying, which is that for a beit ruvav is a defined size for chitzat kanim, which will be its own entity, whereas other patches will depend on whether it gets a shem b'fnatzmo. All right, lo shel mirah asuya b'tit. So here it's avagav de mechabra ba'ara. Even though it's affixed to the ground here and it's made with teat, right. Nevertheless, it's still classified as a bayit, and since it's classified as a bayit, it'll be sold separately from the field. It's even though it's mechubad karka, it's called mechubad karka, because it's classified as a bayit, it has a tashvish b'fnei atzmo, therefore it's no longer included in the sale over here. Bari Rabbi Elazar. Okay, now, malbenot shel p'tachim mahu. This seems to be like some sort of, it's hard to picture what they're talking about here, but it's some sort of molding around the doorway or frame around the doorway that also functions as the door stop, meaning that when the door closes, it hits it and it bumps up against it. So that, the Mablet Shel Petachim, Mahu, are they included when you talk about a sale of a house? Are they included in the sale of the house? I'm reading this now according to the way the Rashbam reads it. Hecha de Mechabri Betino. When they're attached or, you know, plastered in, then loti ba'ilach, the hamachubar. Then there's no question because it's attached to the house. It's affixed. You don't take something that goes with the house. In a case where it's not affixed with plaster, but rather pegs, they use some sort of pegs to affix it. It's like a, you know, one of these IKEA things that you put together. You have to put the pegs in and it's held together by pegs. So they put it in the door frame with these pegs. My, what's the din there? My says, teku. In that case, it's a teiku. By Rabbi Zero, malbeinot shel chalunot mahu. So now we ask. Now Rabbi Zero is asking this question according to Rashi, Imtim Salomar. If you say that the malbeinot shel ptachim that are put in pegs or go with the sail, then what do you do with these frames, window frames or window moldings? Me, I'm reading the noy ba'al mahu davide. Yeah, but Rabbi Zera is saying there's a teiku. We don't know the answer. It says imtim salomar. If you want to say, if the conclusion of that teiku is that besiche, that it works and it's considered mechuber lebayit, that's true by a door because the door is a functional item and the molding of the door functions as a doorstop. So it's not just lenoi, but it's also as a function for the door. What about by windows? The Rashbam says that. That's the Rashbam's suggestion over here. So now. You don't have to read it that way, but that's why the Rashbam reads it. The Rashbam reads it as an intim salomar. All right. So now, by Rabbi Zera, malbeinot shel chalunot mahu. Mi amrin lenoi ba'al mahu davidei. There, they're not really functional. They're simply molding around. They're nice. They make it look nice. I would say more like an awning type of thing. That's not what they're talking about. But that would, to me, be the same thing. Or shutters on the side that are not used to close. They're just decorative, right? Oh, dilma came into mechabre. Or since they're affixed to the house, those decorative shutters that are on the outside, they're affixed to the house. When you sell the house, you don't expect the guy to walk off with the shutters that are decorative outside the windows, right? They're mechuber to the house. So again, the Gemara says teiku. So now, by Rabbi Yirmiya, right? Malbeinot shel karei amita mau. When it comes to the malbeinot, now these, the malbeinot of the karei amita, is at the feet of the bed, used to sit on something. Why? The Gemara talks in other places of putting them in cups of water or bowls of water to protect from scorpions coming up the bed, but also placing them off the ground because their ground was made out of dirt and it got wet. So in order to prevent the wood poles from rotting when it sat on the ground, they used to put some sort of feet underneath the bed. So that's what we're talking about here. These are some sort of square or something that's set under a tile or wood that's set underneath to hold up the bed that protected the feet. So when you sell the bed, what's the din? If they're fixed to the feet of the bed and when you pick up the bed they go with it, then there's no question. Then they belong to the bed. When a case where they don't go with the bed, are they considered separate items? Like, for instance, today you have that on carpets, right? There are other places they put these special cups, right? Cups underneath that protect the carpet from the sharpness of the bed. So those, if they're affixed to it, then it's no question it's sold. If they're separate, then they're a different item. They're feet. They're sold separately. Right? That's items not included. Sold separately. So that's here. It's also over here, since they're metatle, lo metatle. So Gemara ends again, my biteku. Over here, that it's all of these items are left with a teiku over here. Right. What? Right, batteries included. Right, same type of concept over here. Now, that's the way the Rashbam reads it. Now, the problem with the Rashbam here is that this is like a disconnect from the entire Gemara. The entire Gemara is dealing with a field, and what's included with the field, and all of a sudden the Gemara jumps to bayit. Right, something to do with the bayit, and it's almost disjointed from the rest of the Gemara. So, of course, for that reason, Tosu says, you know what, that's not the question over here. By Rabbi Lezer, Ma'u Beinu Ptachim, right, so what is the Tosu says? V'lo Kepere Shekuntris. That's a non sequitur. It has nothing to do with our Gemara over here at all. Elanir Lari, da petach shomira kai. They met the doorway of the guard hut or the hut out in the field. Oh, shomira the ratio kai. And the shomira and the ratio, which says it's not included in the sale, the tani machar, right, that when it's, I'm sorry. And the Shomira of the Reisha, where it's not considered an independent entity, and it's included in the sale of the field, right? So then what's the din? In that case, with the Malbeinot, Shel Ptachim. In that case, the Malbeinot and Ptachim go along with the Shomira that's in the field, or are they considered separate? I mean, like you have this field, then you have this Shomira, which is not, according to the Rashbam, or the way the Rashbam reads it, is a sort of flimsy or less affixed hut over here, and therefore it's included with the field because it's considered part of the field. And now you have a frame or some sort of molding in this Shomira, which I don't understand totally, because we're talking about something that's made out of reeds. It's not really made out of real bricks or stone or plaster or wood. It's talking about a temporary, like a hut. So what type of molding would you have on the doorway of the hut? I mean, it seems it's a little bit more extreme. Now, according to the way the Rabbeinu Chanano reads it, it might be a lot easier, because then the one that is sold with the field is one with the tit, and therefore it is a much more fixed structure. And then you could be talking about a doorway on that item. The way the Rashbam reads it, and the way, I don't know which way Tosfos is reading it, but it seems to me that it's the way that the Rashbam read it, that it seems more difficult to understand the Tosfos. But obviously it fits better with the flow of the Gemara, that we're talking about something that's relevant to our Mishnah, and something that, out of the middle of nowhere, all of a sudden shows up in our Gemara. Right now,
below at the Chor... Another support for Tosfos, the Vaskana Tate, it's talking about selling a house, is very unusual, because that should be Masi the Cholio, that they should be able to...
Determine, right.
Task and determine.
Right, right,
and
fair.
For,
I think a fair point. Right, it is a fair point. With houses, it should have been obvious what goes and doesn't go with the house. Right, very good. This is in the safe of the Mishnah. So these are items that are not included in the sale, no matter what, because they are so significant in of themselves. So Mar says, how do you know that that's the case? It says, the Pasuk says, so it's kimat, kimat, right? So that Avraham Avinu, when he goes to buy Marat HaMachpelah, it says, v'yakam asdeh afron asher b'machpelah, and everything in the field goes along with it. But not, right, v'chol ha'itz asher b'tocho, asher b'gubol saviv. So everything that's included in it, v'chol ha'shaseh b'deh asher b'chol gvulo saviv. So now, okay, I understand when it says that all the trees are included. What does it mean, asher gvulo saviv? That everything within the border is included. So that's it. Mi tzarich l'gvul saviv yatzu elu, shein tzarich l'gvul saviv. So what does it say? By the definition, or the way the Pasuk describes the field that Avram bought, it says Avram bought the field, everything that was in it, it has a border around it. Asher gvulo saviv. Now, the Gemara says, okay, if you said everything in it, I would have known. What's the extraneous term of asher gvulo saviv? So that comes to teach you that anything that requires a gvul, a border, to be included in the name of the field, then that goes with the field. So any eitz or any tree, because it's defined by the borders of the field, not by the tree itself, then that's included in the sale. An item that does not require a border of a field to be defined, right, is sold, right, or can be defined or spoken about independent of the field, that's not included in the sale. And the way, I just read you the Rashi says it. They're big, significant, I love the term he uses. Right, and they're well known. It's, you know, people talk about it. They're talked about items, right? Right. People know whose they belong to and whose field they're planted in. I mean, that they're so well known that nobody would have a question about who they belong to. As opposed to like a stump tree in the middle of nowhere, then you have to really, without the borders of the field, knowing where the borders of the field, you have no idea whose tree it is because nobody pays attention to it. Over here, these are so significant, people pay attention and they know, he owns three sycamores over there. You know what I mean? It's something that people would talk about. Since they talk about it, it's something that's well defined by itself, and you don't need the gvul to define it. All right, now, these don't need it. From here, Rav Yehuda says that we have mitzarim min haTorah. What does that mean, mitzarim min haTorah? So the Rabbeinu Gershom brings down one interpretation, the Rashi brings another interpretation. The Rabbeinu Gershom first brings that, she'ra'adlo ha-mitzarim sifuotah, mitzar ploni kach v'kach, mitzar ploni kach v'kach. That when you show the field to someone, you say, here are the borders of the field. Other Rishonim say that maybe in the sale itself, you must define what the borders of the field are. I mean, Mitzarim in the Torah here says that it's not simply a nice thing to do, but you must define or delineate the borders of the field that you are selling. That's what it means, Mitzarim in the Torah. The borders over here, right? The Rishonim deal with here over here, that we dealt earlier in the Gemara, says, Ve'ela mitzarana dehani. And these are the borders of the area. In order for the sale to go through and to include all these other items, we said, El Mitzrayna Dahani. But these are the borders. So we thought before that was Yitur Adol Hashon. That was a nice thing that he did. The Mitzrayna Dahani was a nice thing he did. And when he did it, Mitzarim Mecherchivlo. They just told him what happens in the Bikah. Now, if you say that Mitzarim are ready Min HaTorah, that means that if you give those borders, and, right, a normal person would call this a bikav, meaning a sadeh, then you would be included. So I mean, now the safek changes over here. Whereas before when we said meitzarim borders are something that could be meitzarim yerchivlo, that the borders were just trying to delineate location, not necessarily the exact definition of where the field was. So for instance, you could delineate a whole bikah, even though you were selling just the field inside of the bikah. And there we say Meitzarim Yerchivlo. If you believe Meitzarim in the Torah, if you give him the borders of the bikah, and a bikah in other, in some instances called Sadeh, we say, you know what, you sold the whole thing. Because Min HaTorah, Meitzarim Min HaTorah. That's one way to read it. Right? That's the Rabbeinu Gershom, many of the Rishonim follow in that place. Now, the Issur Mevarshe, which the Rabbeinu Gershom brings down, which is what the Rashbam favors, is Mikan Luchim Shekonim Mitzarim Shivot HaSedeh Dainu Gvulei. That's what we just said in the previous Gemara, that when you buy the field, you also buy the Mitzarim. That you buy the fences that are around it, or the borders that are around it, whatever is that border is included in the sale.
Right.
I was always wanted to say here, I don't see anybody says it, that from here that you have to, there's an obligation on you to fence or define your property. In order that there shouldn't be a problem, it should be a safek later on, and have to fight over where the border is, that Mikan Mitzarim in the Torah tells you that you have to put a gvul up, you have to put up something that doesn't allow people to argue about it in the future. Again, I didn't see anybody who says that, but that would have been my way to interpret Mikan Mitzarim in the Torah. Alright, so now we have Amri Buddha, I'm on the Zabin Ar Lechavre, Sarach Michtavle, Karni Lecha, Diklin Vitalin, Vahutzin Vitzitzin. When you write the contract, right, you should write in it. When it goes to the land, everything is included in the land. Diklin, right? The palm trees are included, right? The ta'alin, which the Rashbam defines over here as shtilin, natin, bechurin. These are saplings that are included. Hutzim, tzitzin. Also, he says there are different types of palm trees. I mean that everything, you have to write down like everything. You know, the whole kitchen sink goes along with this field. Even if he never wrote it in there, it would be included in the sale. I mean, it's not necessary to write it to include in the sale. It's better to be safe than sorry. If you write all these things, nobody has any questions about the shtar. So if nobody has any questions about the shtar, again, that's why I like the way I was explaining Mitzarim before. You want to know when nobody has questions about what the borders of the field are, make sure that you define the borders of your field. So over here also, you want to make sure that the shtar has no questions about what you sold with the field. Write down everything. If you write down everything, then there are no questions left in the shtar. But better to write it than not to write it. But not that that's necessary. The way the Rashbam reads it, he says, oh, because maybe you'll bump into a Beis Din Toeh who doesn't know the din.
I love the Rashbam.
Doesn't know the din, and this will protect you against them. I mean, it's an unbelievable havamina that you would have to say. Ara v'dikle. So now, if he says ara v'dikle, now there are two ways to define it. The Rashbam brings both of them down. Tosfos really actually is tofes, and one of them, which the Rashbam says, doesn't work here at all. So a person who says, I'm selling you the land, and I'm selling you palm trees. That's the way the Rashbam reads it. I'm selling you land, and on that land there might be palm trees. Independent of that, dikle, I'm selling you also palm trees. That's the way the Rashbam reads it. According to Tosfos, he's reading it, ara v'dikle, I'm selling you land, and the palm trees on the land. So now, Chazina, eat like Dikle, I even lay trade Dikle. If it has palm trees on the land, the way Tosos reads it, if the land that you're selling has palm trees on it, then he only gets two of those Dikalim. If he doesn't have any palm trees on it, Zavin lay trade Dikle. He has to buy him two Dikalim because he says, Ara of Dikle. Right now, the way the Rashbam reads it is separate. If he owns land, the land goes with the Dekalim on it, he gets everything on that land. Separately, he has to give him two Dekalim. So if this person owns two Dekalim, he has to give them to him. If he doesn't own them, he has to go and buy them. Why is the Rashbam not like the way Tosfos learns it? Because we just saw before that when you sell a field, all the Dekalim go with the field. And then you're supposed to write extra Lashon of Diklin, Vitalin, Behutzin, Vitzitzin. And when you write Dekel, it includes more. The way Tosfos is reading it, it says, oh, Ara Vidikle. Since you say Ara Vidikle, it only includes two Dekalim, only two palm trees on the field, not all the palm trees. By writing more, you're taking away from it. And we just saw from the Gemara, that's just the opposite. That you're supposed to get everything in the field, and you're supposed to write the Yafik Kochosho Leshtar, to write Dekale, and all these items. He says, what is the difference? Over there, it's in a context of writing all the items. Right. Very good. He says, when you say Dekule, Italian, Hutzin, Sitzin, then it's all. Right, then it's on.
Just to make it clearer what's
right.
Right.
So that Tosu says, right over here, if you look at Tosu, right, this is the way Tosu says, well, here, over here, it's Balpe, hello. So when it comes to shuf d'shtar, first of all, it has to be documented in the shtar, and number two is you have to write all the items, you have to write everything in there. If you just do it bal peh, Tosfos says, or you just wrote diklin, then it's to your detriment on the shtar, and therefore you'll get less. The Rashbam says, v'lo nirali, he says, I don't like this explanation at all. I don't see how you can detract, right, from what is written there. It is a totally separate transaction. You have land with tekalim, they go with it. Dikle is a separate thing. I'm promising you also, in addition to the Ara, Dikle. Also, Dikalim. Right, so the difference will be in the Girsa that they actually have over here, which would be However, diklei chazin and itlei diklei according to the Rashbam, whereas according to Tosafot would be it be diklei or it ba diklei because it's a sadeh. So it would be whether it's itlei versus he has versus the sadeh having it. No difference in the gear, so it will depend on whether you hold like Tosafot or the Rashbam. All right. So now, if he doesn't have a mishkol person, e mishabde. If he has the kalim, but they are there's a lien on them, periklei, he has to free the lien. He has to give them free and clear to him. Trade diklei, he has to free up two of them from the lien. Ara bid diklei, if he says, I'm selling you land with palm trees on it, chazin and idvei diklei, yoivlei. If he has land with the kalim on it, that's what he sold to him. Vilav mekatosu. If he doesn't have a land with the kalim on it, then it's a mekatos. The sale failed because he sold him something he doesn't own. So I'm selling you land with palm trees. He doesn't have any land with palm trees. It's no sale. Ara beitiklei. Now, if he says, I'm going to sell you land that is beitiklei, what's the difference here? Leitlei diklei. If he doesn't have diklei on it, but it is chazil le diklei kamarle. Okay, despite the fact that it doesn't have dekalim on it, he didn't mean that it's land with dekalim on it, but it's land that is appropriate or suitable, right, to put dekalim on it. So now, in that case, we say that it's a good sale, as long as it's ra'ui, as long as it's chazil to plant dekalim on it. So amalei, the bar midikla planyo. If he says, excluding this one palm tree, I'm selling the whole land except this one palm tree. Chazina, idikla tavahu. If it is a good dekel that he's referring to, then shirei shariye. Then everything else is left over, meaning that when he says it's the good dekel, he means, I want this one that's significant, and anything below it is not going to be included. He says, when he says dikla tavo, he doesn't mean the best, that's what Rashbam says. He says, the beinoni. If he picks one that is significant within the field, then that means that he's defining something in the field, specific. He's saying, I want this specific tree, because it produces a certain amount, and therefore it's valuable to me, and I want to keep this tree. So he says that, everything else is not included in this, is included in the sale. Whereas, if he says, the dekel that he left out is a really bad dekel, I mean that doesn't produce a lot, then what he's saying is, I'm leaving everything over from this plus above it. Meaning that I'm trying, because it doesn't have a definition by itself, he's saying, I'm excluding all these items from the sale over here. So that's what the Gemara says. Chazi, idik la tavo ushiri shari. Then everything else is left over and goes with the sale. Idik la bisho, if it's a really bad dekel, doesn't produce a lot, then koshkei nanach. Now, of course, if he excluded that from the sale, he's excluding everything from the sale. He's saying, this and better, I'm leaving out of the sale. Okay, now, amalei le bar milane. If he says, listen, anything, I'm selling you everything but excluding the trees in the field. If it has trees in the field, then the bar milane, then the trees are excluded. That's Peshitta, the Rashbam says, no question here, it's because of what comes up in the Gemara. If the field has nothing besides palm trees on it, then the bar milane, then the palm trees are excluded. Even though people in general will not call the kalim ilanot, they have a separate term, but over here, since there's nothing else on the field, that's what he excluded. Gufne, the same thing. If there's nothing else on the field besides vines, so each of these items have a different term. Ilanot are trees, fruit trees. Then you have, right, diklei, which are palm trees, and you have gufnei, which are vines. So in each of these instances, if he has ilanei, then they're excluded. If he has nothing else besides palm trees or vineyards, vines on there, then those are excluded because that's got to be what he's talking about. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense what he said. Ilanei v'gufnei, if on the field there are trees and vines, then it's var milanei. The only thing excluded are trees, because he said, except trees. Now, we're going to say that vines are separate entities. They're not there to find themselves. They're included in the sale, because he didn't exclude them from the sale. Ilanei v'diklei, again, if he has trees plus palm trees on the field, then the var milanei. And then also excluding the trees, these are all obvious, because, right, the kalim are separate entities. If he says trees, he meant trees and not palm trees. He should have said palm trees if he meant them. Right, very good. In all these cases. Now, gufnei didiklei, this is what the real question of the Gemara is. When did he get to geffen and dekel? So over here, now he said the bar milanei, he said excluding trees. So now, all we have on this field are palm trees and gifanim and vines. So if you ask me, I would say, well, palm tree. I would say that the palm tree is the one that he's saying over here. Gemara says, no, the bar mi gufnei. And what's excluded from here is the vines, and why is that? So that's that's what the Rashbam says over here. The gafanim, the gabi, the kalim, the kray, and ilane. If I was to compare a vine to a palm tree, they're called more a tree than a dekel. I mean, I would have thought just the opposite, to be honest with you. But so that's why we have the Gemara telling us that, right, that the vines are what are defined as a tree over here, and that the
in those days,
Right,
and
clearly.
Then we know how.
Today we call it a palm tree, versus there, where it's called a dekel, had a separate term to it. So a, he also, the Rashi brings a second interpretation, which he rejects. He says that. That he says that neither of them including Ilanei, neither one is defined as a tree more than the other. The better one, which is the Gefanim, he left for himself. Because it's undefined, and what he would left, what he kept for himself is clearly the better item. He wanted to keep the better item. So that's what he says. He says,
what about the machlokes,
or no, but here he's making a specific exclusion. So when he goes in and makes a specific exclusion, we say, okay, what was he in mind when he made the exclusion? Now he says, lo nehira. So the Rashi says, I don't like this at all. Because he says, if both of them are equal in term, then when he says the varim lanei, he means both. Meaning that, why should you pick one or the other? If they are both not defined or defined as ilanei, then they both should be included in the exclusion. I mean, the fact that, why would you pick one over the other? I mean, if they both are not ilanei and they're equal when it comes to the term ilanei, then when he said varim lanei, let's just define it as everything there. So the Rashi disagrees or rejects such a concept that it should be this way. And his definition is that the Gemara is actually taking sides here in terms of defining what is called a tree more than the other, and that's a vine more than a palm tree. We'll stop here.